When you talk to clients, you have to realize that they're not dog trainers. They're not your colleagues, they're not your peers, they're not people you're trying to impress. They're not trainers that you look up to. They're not even your students. They're literally people that have their own priorities. They could be doctors, they could be factory workers, they could be business owners in different areas other than animal husbandry or animal training. So a lot of these people are really not interested in the nuts and bolts of what you do. And I know it's impressive, right? When we talk to other trainers and maybe you want to throw in some terminology that you learned at your seminar that you just went to last weekend, or that book or that article that you read, and you want to throw it in there because you want to make it part of your vocabulary, that is great and all. But to your client, it can be a little bit overwhelming. One of the things that I like to do, and I know a lot of dog trainers can relate to this, is I like to use layman's terms. I like to use relatable language. I like to use analogies and stories. You want to be able to tell stories. So for example, when I talk to a client, one of the things that I'll tell them is I'll go, well, you know how when you were a kid, and then I'll explain part of the process that I'm trying to associate with a particular thing that we're doing with their dog, right? So I'll go, do you know how when you were a kid, if your parents told you to clean your room and they told you, hey, go ahead and clean your room, and you said, okay, I'll get to it, and then your parents go, okay, I mean it, 5, 4, 3, they start counting down, and then they'll go, okay, I remember that. Okay, so when you tell your dog to do something and then you tell them to do it again and then you tell them to do it again, essentially you're basically doing that. Your dog is not gonna follow through unless you say it the first time and you mean it the first time, provided that your dog understands what you're asking him to do. That's just an example of a story. I'll tell them, you know how when you were a kid, right? Or I'll tell them, you have kids? They'll go, yes. Okay, well, you know how when your kid does this, this, and that, and the other, sometimes this happens. Now, why do I use that a lot? When you were a kid or if you have kids? Dog trainers will sometimes jump on it and go, whoa, you can't humanize dogs. It does more harm than good. I get it from your dog training perspective. I understand why you're saying that. I agree, you should not humanize dogs. They're not children, they're not people. They have a completely different processing mechanism. I know that, and you know that as a trainer, obviously, but there are many similarities on how dogs learn, to how rats learn, to how birds learn, to how people learn. The same principles that govern behavior increase and behavior decrease also govern the same outcomes in humans and other species. So rather than trying to teach the client from a baseline of this is what positive negative reinforcement, that this is what stimulus control means, this is what differential reinforcement of incompatible behavior means, these are what the schedules of reinforcement are, rather than doing that, one of the best ways to get them to understand that is to use stories, to tell them, you know how when you were a child, this happened or the other, right? Did you have siblings? Yes. Okay, do you remember when your sibling would sometimes get in a little bit of a scuffle with you? You would not get along, maybe you'd fight with them and then you would not like them for like a period of time. You know how that happened? And they'd be like, yeah, I remember that. Okay, well, that might be happening with both your dogs right now. Okay, you know how you had this student in your class that would say mean things, that was a little bit of a bully? Yeah, I remember that. Well, sometimes dogs do behave in similar ways. And that gets them to go, okay, I get it, I understand. So stories, and even if these stories are related to their childhood or their human experience, at the risk of humanizing their dog, it does more good, in my opinion, it does more good to get them to understand, to get them to go, that makes sense to me. To me, in my opinion, that does more good than the potential risk of them going, oh, they're just like children. Because as a trainer, I can then tell them, no, these are some examples in which that happens. However, it doesn't mean that we have to communicate to them as though they were children. So as a trainer, I can step in and go, this is where the analogy stops. This is where the analogy helps you. This is where the human analogy stops. So that's my job. I firmly, strongly believe this. And I strongly believe that this will do more good than harm. The opposite of that would be, I try my absolute best not to humanize. I try my absolute best not to use human examples for the sake of not humanizing them. And now I have to talk in technical terminology. Now I have to use baseline terminology, baseline concepts to get them to understand the final picture. The problem with that to me is I'm trying to make them an expert to a degree. If I go to a mechanic, this is why I love stories, okay? I'm gonna give you a story right now. If I go to a mechanic and the mechanic tells me, you need to change this part and this part, and they can plug in the little machine in my car and tell me, this is the code, this is what you need to replace, and these are the parts. And they start telling me this, that, and the other. I'd rather them just tell me, here's how we're gonna fix it, here's when it'll be ready, here's when you can bring it in, and this is how much it's gonna cost. Simple, I don't need to know the basics. Have you ever had a mechanic try to tell you? You might be into mechanics, but have you ever had a professional try to tell you every little bit of information that they know? And a lot of times you end up going, I don't understand that. And you have to ask a bunch of questions. You have to repeat yourself. You have to get them to repeat themselves. That's what happens. So yes, some people will be receptive to that. Some people will love that information. And if your client goes, hey, just give me more information, I can totally handle it, and they want the nuts and bolts, they want the terminology, they want you to articulate it in a operant conditioning, classical conditioning fashion, if that's what they want, by all means, go for it. If your client wants to, then go for it. But the average client is not average. The average client, they could literally be anywhere on the spectrum of intelligence and education. That's the reality. Some of your clients are in a different level of education and intelligence. That's the fact. Not every client has a high level of education. Many of your clients are going to be high school graduates, and that's it. Some of your clients are not even going to have that. Some of your clients have more limited vocabulary. Some of your clients have master's degrees. Some of your clients are psychologists. I've had clients that are very educated, and I've had clients that were not very educated. I've had clients that were very intelligent, and I've had clients that were not very intelligent. But the thing that they have in common is they love their dogs, they want their dogs to do well. And so what I want to do is I want to use the best possible language for them so that it makes sense to them, so that they can follow through. So those are my thoughts on the topic. Those are my thoughts on this language, right? What kind of language are we going to use to talk to the client? I firmly stand behind this, and I know it from experience because I've done it both ways, and I know what works for me, and I know obviously what works for a lot of people, and I know what works for my clients. So this is my choice. This is where I'm going from this point forward, and what I've been doing it for a long time, actually. And I know a lot of you guys agree. Anyways, if you have any questions, if you have any thoughts on this, if you have any disagreements on that, that's perfectly fine too. Let me know in the comments, and maybe we can discuss this further.